All right, good morning, everyone. Zazzle and Amber, it is a Friday morning, the 15th morning of November. Good to have you aboard. Hey, Amber, good morning.
Yo.
Today's a Football Friday, brought to us by Yuengling, a beer as bold as those who drink it. Tap into your inner eagle. Spread your wings. Hoosville, Pennsylvania. Please drink responsibly. We got a lot to get to here. Last night was funny. Oh, man. Did you stay up for the end of the game?
But I saw it about a billion times this morning, all over, everywhere.
I'm glad I did. I got home from the Heat last night.
Oh, you watched that live, that brawl?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're the first person I've heard that said that he watched it live. I think most people turn that game off.
No, I got home. First of all, full disclosure, I have money on the game.
I was going to ask you because, man, you said that they were just begging you to take the Steelers. And
yeah.
I'm wondering if you lost your mortgage life. Are you
going
to be able
trap.
To pay your mortgage this month?
It was such a trap. I knew it. But there was no chance I was betting Cleveland, okay? But
I took
the bait. I knew it was a trap, okay? And it was. It was a huge trap. Was never really in it, okay? Steelers +3 was never really in it. And so the Heat game was early last night. It was a 6 p.m. game, okay? Which was, just wonderful. And by the way, I hope nobody pointed out on Twitter. I don't want anyone pointing out that arena was empty last night, okay? Because only point
that's
that
just
out
a Miami
in
thing.
Miami. Do not point that out. That arena was empty. And I hope everyone kept it a big secret, because we know that Miami is the only building, not that's empty, because Miami, the American Airlines Arena is never empty, but Miami's the only arena in the NBA that has empty seats at the start of games. So I hope that everyone, stuck to the plan, which is to never, ever point out that other buildings have fans who just straight up don't show up, and certainly not at the start of games. So last night, there was no one there, all right? And
they were all the Browns game. The Browns game was a good crowd.
Well, and that if
the Browns games are always
a good crowd.
Right.
And no one goes to Cavs games or Indians games. It's such a phony baloney sports town. It really is.
Well, it's a football
They
town.
Like their football, but they are the phoniest sports fans in general. They like their football, period. So anyway, the Heat game ends early last night. I got home at like 9:45. It was beautiful. Okay. And I'm like, all right, well, let's put on the football game. I'm watching a football game. Or
I
still playing
on
a game left.
I turned on the after the game. I was watching the post game on TV, and then I walked upstairs, and I didn't realize what time it was. So when I walked upstairs, I turned on the app because I figured, I'll listen to some more post game. I'll listen to Zazzle's post game on the app, and it was already on CBS Radio. So I guess it was like 9:10, and I'm like, oh man, Zazzle's already done.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're already gone.
Yeah, either I was done. Or they didn't switch the broadcast, because we can't have the network on the radio.com app, because that's an NBA rights issue.
Right, but I figured your post game would be, no?
It should be, but if they don't switch it, then...
So maybe I was trying to listen to the post game and I'm listening to CBS Radio. It was probably 9:10.
Like, the board operator needs to switch me on.
And I think the game ended at like 8:30. So it was, it was a little ways after the game. You should have been on. I really thought you should have been.
I should have been on.
I was surprised when I turned on the app, and I thought, man, is Zazzle already done? Like, he's already on his way home?
I don't think I was done at that point. I should have been on. But so I get home, and I'm watching the game because I have a vested interest there. And anyway, and I happen to be sticking with it toward the end, even though at that point,
you've lost your money.
Yeah, bet wasn't going to come in. But I happen to be on the game because I was flipping back and forth at that point with that and the end of the Knicks and the Mavericks, which was a really fun game, okay? And so I just happened to be on. The Knicks game must have been at commercial at that moment, or maybe at that point the Knicks game was over and it switched over to the next game, which was Brooklyn and Denver, so maybe that's why, and I had no interest in that, so maybe that's why I switched back to the football. But I got up and I was making myself a sandwich, okay? Because, hell, there's only seconds left. So I'm making myself a sandwich, and I hear this commotion, okay, on the game. And, like, I just walk back over to my couch holding a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And so I'm watching all the replays, and everyone's wiling. Let's get to our headlines here. Come on.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports.
I tell
station.
You who's wiling is all these people. I've discovered that there's just all these people in the sports world who are just Ohio assault law experts. Just so many of them, including Bees and Tobin this morning.
Really?
Just so many. I mean, I've never in my life realized that I follow so many Twitter lawyers.
The reaction was so funny last night. Let's get to headlines here, and then we can continue with the story of the day last night in Cleveland.
The Miami Heat, let's start there. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 108-97 last night. They took care of business, which is exactly what they needed to do against that Cleveland team. Kendrick Nunn, he led Miami with 23 points last night. Bam, 16 points, 15 boards, 5 assists, 1 block. Jimmy Butler gave you 14 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Tyler Hero, 16 points in 22 minutes. Miami, they're going to be back in action on Saturday. Of course, they host the New Orleans Pelicans.
And last night was another wire-to-wire game for Miami. It's the second straight they've done that. And it's also the second straight game where they led by almost 30 points. I don't even care so much that the lead was whittled down to last, I think they got within 10. I don't even care so much about that. You know, when you lead wire to wire, okay, the other team is going to have their runs in the midst of that, and especially a game like last night where it's on the road. So I got to be honest, I'm embarrassed, okay? I really am, because I thought last night was going to be a competitive game. I'm pretty sure I said that all morning yesterday. I thought yesterday was going to be
You're embarrassed. It's a good thing it wasn't competitive.
Well, yeah, I'm glad. Okay.
You're just embarrassed about your take,
but
is
I'm
what you're saying?
I'm embarrassed that I thought that the Heat were going to have their hands a little bit more full. The Heat did whatever they wanted last night, really for the entire night. And every time that the game got somewhat close, and when I say close, I mean like, you know, back to 10, 12 points, the Heat pushed the lead back up. I mean, the final score, they ended up winning by just, what was it? Was it 9 last night was the final score?
108-97.
I mean, I was on the game. 11. So it ended up being a double-digit win last night. But, I mean, they dominated that entire game. I'm embarrassed that I thought that game was going to be closer.
None. I mentioned that he put up 23 last night. Since 1963, no undrafted NBA rookie has ever had five 20-point scoring games in his first 11 games until now.
Maybe I'm just trying to be guarded with the Heat's great start, that I don't want to buy in and then be upset when it's not for real. Maybe that's what I'm doing. You know, maybe I'm trying to have them undersell and overdeliver. Maybe that's what's going on there.
The Florida Panthers, they lost to the Winnipeg Jets. Oslo, 4-3.
Yeah, awesome that Bobrovsky.
Bob
had 3 goals in the third.
Bob
awesome.
Sucks. He gave up 3 goals in the third.
Great.
Lit up for really, the second really game great. In a row. He's 57th in the NHL out of in the save percentage, out of a 51 in save percentage.
He's 57th out of 51?
In the NHL out of 51? That doesn't make sense. It's got to be 61. He's 57. It's got to be 61. Right?
I don't know.
It's got to be 61. It can't be 51. That doesn't make any sense. I'll give it a little look-see in a minute here. But Coach Q, he says that he clearly has to be better, but that he still has 100% faith in Bob.
All right. Well, what else are you going to say?
You know, I mean, I don't know. Exactly. Trocheck, he scored a pair for the Cats. Thursday night football. That's the big story that happened last night. The Browns, they defeated the Steelers 21-7. That was a surprise to a lot of people to begin with. Baker, he had some throws there, Zaz. He had some moments.
It was fine. I mean,
he had that one touchdown throw that was insane.
Game was boring as hell, okay? You know, it was 14-0 at halftime. The Steelers, they make a big defensive play. They end up getting a touchdown, makes it 14-7 and 21-7 final. But the Browns scored late to put the game away. Steelers got no chance. Mason Rudolph stinks, okay? And the Browns' offense, you would figure, would have been able. Well, I mean, Steelers got the good defense, been playing really well lately. But that game was a bore fest. There was really nothing to it last night until the very end.
He's 48th out of 50, so I had my numbers wrong on Bob.
Okay.
So Myles Garrett, he's a big story out of Thursday night football. He was ejected, of course, for a brawl at the end of the game. He ripped off Mason Rudolph's helmet, and then he hit him with it on the head.
Can we get the call of that? It could be the television call, the radio. I don't care, Vlad. You could pick whichever one you want. But with 8 seconds left in the game. And just, man, the reactions were so funny last night, especially on the television call with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. That's probably the one that I would really like, is the television call there from Fox.
Well, it was more than just, of course, Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett getting into it. Myles Garrett, he did the most egregious thing, but then, of course, the Steelers players put him on the ground. They were kicking him in the head and punching him, as you can imagine.
How about Schobert? 10 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 4 passes defensed, and now a sack.
Yeah, he'll be the AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
You're giving it to him right now.
I am.
Here's a flag as...
Whoa! Hello!
Whoa!
Yeah, that's...
Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into it.
Needs to get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Myles Garrett? There'll be swinging
some,
a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions.
And it was Garrett. That was well after the play.
Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh,
was,
gosh. Man. Oh, man. Oh. Oh, my
clearly
goodness.
Watching the replay there.
Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head.
This is where
and
I walk back
in
the room. What
comes
the hell?
Up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Bad time to leave the room.
It's 8 seconds
Bill
left.
Words, Joe. Oh, gosh, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen
on
a professional sports field.
Come on.
You know, Joe, I have been involved with these in the league office, and it would come to officiating first and then go upstairs for discipline, but this is beyond the normal discipline. This is beyond the normal fine. I think you're absolutely right. It's a foul period to take a guy's helmet off and swing it and use it as a weapon. Automatic ejection by rule. But it goes beyond that now to possible suspension. Of course, then Pouncey, was it Pouncey that was kicking and throwing the punches?
Just stomping him out.
Yep.
They're well,
the mess of society.
Marquise doesn't
play. Game suspension right here. It's just... I mean, I hate that anybody even has to watch this. This is barbaric, is what this is.
That was the best part to me. That was the part, at that point, I started laughing. I don't even want anyone to watch this. Barbaric. Like Troy Aikman had never seen something so crazy. The reactions were so funny last night, okay? Like, you would have thought someone got murdered on the
field. I know. By the way, Mason Rudolph seemed like he was fine. Now, that doesn't make it okay.
No, but I mean...
Myles Garrett is going to get seriously...
I don't even want to show a replay. I don't think anyone should ever see that.
Obviously, Myles Garrett's going to get seriously suspended for this.
Crazy reaction.
But Mason Rudolph was fine. Like, he ended up being fine. So, I don't know. It looks real bad on the replay. Real bad. But I wonder how hard it really was. It couldn't have been really that hard,
nah,
right?
They were within
Mason
close
Rudolph
proximity.
It was fine.
He couldn't have hit him that hard because they were in close proximity. You can't really wind up, and you're not going to connect well if you're so close
but
to each other.
But he had a helmet. It was with a helmet.
Right. I'm sure it didn't feel good, okay? But you saw Mason Rudolph, I mean, barely flinched when it hit him.
Like, which was shocking.
You know?
Like it hit him on the hardest part of his head.
You know, which, of course, is not the point. But
yeah, it doesn't
the reaction,
matter. It doesn't matter in terms of the punishment or anything like that. But
the reaction, though, from
Aikman
there. Oh, I don't even want to see this.
It was such a violent sport.
I can't believe I've never seen anything so bad. It was nuts. It was nuts, okay? Like, all right. You know, it was a football fight that got really out of control, and there's going to be severe consequences, that's for sure. But, I mean, let's not act like it's the craziest thing we've ever seen. I mean, I watch UFC every single week. It's not that big a deal.
If you watch the replay, too, it's Pouncey who has the best view of it. Like, I think some of the other guys that were tangled up didn't even realize what had happened to Mason Rudolph. But Pouncey is right behind Mason Rudolph when Myles Garrett hits him with the helmet. So Pouncey is the one who clearly, very clearly watches Myles Garrett take that helmet and slam Mason Rudolph on the top of his head, see how Pouncey's coming up. And then Pouncey just... you know, does what Pouncey does because that's your quarterback.
I don't want to see it again.
That's your quarterback.
This is barbaric. I'm going to throw up.
But my favorite thing is all the pseudo lawyers in the world now. I mean, just so many. It's all anybody's been talking about today, all over Twitter, all over all the sports programs, all over sports radio. All anybody's talking about it, whether this is assault and whether this is going to be a crime. And in fact, I saw you tweeted out that.
Well, my question is, I don't know if people remember this. This is like 20 years ago, okay? My question is, does the NFL, is this going to be a Marty McSorley situation?
Now, okay? Marty McSorley was a hockey player.
Yes, Marty McSorley was, you know, a goon type, but he was an enforcer, okay? And Marty McSorley, during an NHL game, he got angry at Donald Brashear, okay? And the optics were obviously terrible because Marty McSorley, white, Donald Brashear, black. And Marty McSorley, from behind, whacks him across the back of the neck.
With the stick. So he uses the stick as a weapon.
And Brashear, I mean, like, takes a face plant, okay, into the ice. So the optics were terrible. And I don't remember what the NHL suspension was. I know it was severe. But McSorley was charged with assault and battery, okay? And he had to go to court. He's crying in the courtroom, Marty McSorley. It was a very big deal. I mean, sports fans now, you hear the name Marty McSorley, that's how you remember him. You don't remember him as being Wayne Gretzky's right-hand enforcer, you know? That was his main role. But
yeah, it was that incident that basically ended up leading to his retirement because of the suspension.
And so I wonder, though, you know, with that in the back of my mind, is this going to be treated the same way? I don't know the answer to that.
That was Canadian law.
Okay. Yeah, I think it took place in Vancouver, if I'm remembering correctly.
That was Canadian law. Different country.
I think it may have taken place
in
Vancouver.
Different countries, Aslow. I can explain to you the legal ramifications of how this is determined. I know that we're going to be up against a break here, so maybe we should do that after the break, Zaslow. And that's really headlines. Of course, the Dolphins are going to host the Bills. That is Sunday, a 1 p.m. kickoff. Miami is a 6.5-point home underdog in that one.
All right.
And I should mention that the Portland Trailblazers, they have signed Carmelo, Zaslow.
He's
got
a
home. Back on the court.
I think it's fun.
Him and Hassan.
I'm about fun. I'm about two things, fun and championships. And that right there is fun. It's definitely not about championships, but that's about fun. All right, so we'll continue on with the story of the day. Zazz on Amber next. It's a lot going on here. Dolphins and Bills this weekend. Canes are off, but Dolphins and Bills this weekend, which feels like such a secondary story right now. But there is plenty going on in that regard. The Heat have the Pelicans tomorrow. This game did not have the juice you originally hoped it would. Obviously no Zion Williamson. Probably no Brandon Ingram either, okay? And the Heat right now, they smoke anyone who comes to American Airlines Arena. That's what it's been so far this year. Atlanta, Memphis,
roll them up and smoke
Houston,
them.
Detroit. We smoke fools at American Airlines Arena. The Heat 4-0 so far, okay, at home. 8-3 now after last night's wire-to-wire victory over Cleveland.
We smoke fools up and down the Eastern Seaboard as well.
We smoke them.
Out west, not so much.
So you got that going on tomorrow. Dribble Drive.
East Coast?
Dribble Drive tomorrow morning, okay? If you want to get in HeatHelpCure.org. Search Zaslow, okay? And I will be there at Miami Cancer Institute I'm going to be there before 6 a.m., but, yeah, I'm going to be there sometime between 5 and 6. I'm going to get there.
Whew. It's going to be like old days
Early
for you,
bedtime
old morning
tonight.
Show days for
I mean,
you.
I'm planning on having a buddy over tonight, have some drinks. I don't know if that's such a kosher idea. That
I wake
may not
up
be a
every
good idea.
Morning, this baby of mine, he every morning, 5:45, every morning. I'm like, hey, bruh, I don't do the morning show anymore, bruh. Go back to sleep.
I'm going
to
be way before that tomorrow.
He doesn't understand.
And I told Tobin on his way out, I said, hey, playa, see you tomorrow, man.
Well, I do tell myself when I get up every day about 5:45, and I do tell myself, man, this is like I would have killed for 5:45 when I did the morning show.
Yeah, 5:45 would have felt great.
Killed for 5:45.
4:06, that sounds awesome.
That would have been hot sex back then.
Yeah, that would have sounded amazing. But anyway, so I'm going to get back to old school wake up time tomorrow.
You ready for those temps tomorrow, Zaslow?
Am I ready for the what?
Are the temperatures.
Oh, yeah, sure. Give it to me.
57 degrees in
the
morning.
Like at the beginning of the day.
Yeah. 57 is the low and 76 is the high.
Oh,
so let me
see
it by the hours. Let's see. Hold on. Let me look it up by the hours. Let's see.
Because it could be like from 6 to like noon, 6 to 11:30. Yeah, that's probably what we're talking about there.
Yeah,
that's
so
tremendous weather.
It may be chilly when you wake up in the morning. Now I'm trying to figure out if the low You have to give me a minute because now I'm trying to pull it up on the computer.
I think the low is going to be the start of the day, right?
Well, or it could be that night. That's what I'm trying to determine. Okay. So let's see. Let's pulling it up for you. Tomorrow, you said you're showing up about 5 in the morning?
Between 5 and 6. I gotta
so
get there.
It looks like it'll be 66
Great.
Degrees.
Great.
So that'll be absolutely wonderful. It looks like it's going to stay in the 60s until about 11 a.m. Finally,
that's
11 a.m. noon, it hits the 70s. And by 70s, I mean like 72 degrees.
That's amazing
noon.
Weather for the dribble drive.
Unbelievable.
Amazing
I mean, the
weather.
High, the highest it gets up to, it looks like, is going to be about 3 p.m. tomorrow. It might hit 73.
It hasn't been that cold
that's
yet. So
it.
Like tomorrow's the first day that the weather's going to be like that then. Oh, it's a dribble drive gift. All right. So that's tomorrow. That's great. That's great.
You might
news.
Want to bring a sweater.
That's great news. Okay. Very good. And everyone who is participating, make sure you're in your email and you see it gives you all the direction.
I still don't have my email for the dribble dash. I even called Rhymes with Glenn yesterday.
Oh, really?
To try to talk to him about it. To try to find out some information. So
all right, well, hope that
hit me up on
today.
The text line if you have gotten an email about the dribble dash, if you're doing the dash with me, 67974. I'm just curious if anybody else has gotten the email who's doing the dash of what time we're supposed to be at the arena.
Because I know the emails, and you know, because I've received, friends of mine have received, I know the emails have gone out as far as, it was a couple days ago, as far as what time you need to get to MCI for the 13.8 miles. But as far as the dribble drive from Vizcaya and the dribble drive dash, I don't know anything about it, so... I hope that situation's being dealt with, being taken care of. Anyway, story of the day is what took place on Thursday Night Football last night. Huge brawl at the end of the game. There's no defending Myles Garrett. Okay, let's fast forward to post game. You want to hear from the Browns head coach?
I do, but real quick, funny because we've gotten a bunch of texts, of course, about this situation. You had played that call. Before the break, and we
Fox
were joking.
Call, Fox TV.
We
call.
Were joking.
Oh,
about
that is barbaric!
It's the worst thing I've ever seen
I
on a football field.
I've seen it. I closed my eyes.
A text writes in: Joe Buck had that same reaction when Randy Moss
right.
was pretending to moon the Packers fans.
Right. Right. Well, was he mooning or was he taking a dump?
Well, either one.
One or the other.
Remember, he acted
he
like
he may have been mooning. Vlad,
it was a pretend mooning.
I know it was a moon.
It was a moon.
Yeah, it was
okay,
a mooning.
That's what
it was
Packer
like
fans do to every opposing player when they come to Lambeau.
Okay, it was a
yeah,
moon.
Yeah, so
okay.
he just pretended to moon.
Oh, the worst thing I've ever seen.
Acted like it was the most offensive thing that's ever happened.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen until Myles Garrett helmet throw.
Here's Freddie Kitchens post. He's the clown coach of the Browns. Here he is post game.
Of course, that's not. Who we want to be at the end of the game, that's not who Myles wants to be. That's not who we're going to be. You have to be able to
so
maintain
fired.
Your composure in times like that. And under no circumstance do we want anything to do with anything like that. I'm embarrassed. Myles is embarrassed. It's not good. He understands what he did.
That was not good.
He understands it's totally unacceptable, and we got to get through it.
That's not good. He is that team. It's always something with that loser team. It is every week. Every week. It's
well,
always
I did
something.
Hear the reporters this morning when I was watching SportsCenter. I heard a reporter who was there say how strange it was in the locker room after the game because that's a big win for the Browns. And
totally
I mean, it was a big
now.
Decisive
totally
win. And he said that it felt like the locker room after a loss, that it was just that it had this weird,
yeah.
eerie feel over it, that nobody was celebrating, nobody was happy. That, you know, it seems like all the Browns players were really embarrassed by what happened and, you know, ashamed of their teammate and obviously concerned that now they're going to be missing him for potentially the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's a potential there. I think he's
well,
Tobin
will tell you that is a 4-game suspension and that's
no
it.
No chance.
Tobin thinks it's cut and dry.
No chance. Here, I'm going to tell you why. And then I want to hear from Marquise Pouncey coming up. I'm going to tell you why it has no chance of being just a 4-game suspension. There are several factors as to why it's going to be the entire season. Number one, this Browns team, okay, they face the Steelers again in 2 weeks. So you know that they're not going to let him play against the Steelers again this year.
Obviously.
That's for sure. But that's only in a couple weeks, okay? So Tobin saying it could be a 4-game suspension. 4-game suspension would more than cover the Steeler game, all right? But it's going to be the entire season for sure for several reasons, okay? Number one, it was on Thursday Night Football. It wasn't on Sunday afternoon where only a region of the country is watching the game. The entire country saw it, okay? It was the only game going on. It's the worst case scenario for that to happen, okay? So a standalone game like that, everyone knows about it. Everyone's watching it.
Everyone's look, Patrick Mahomes is tweeting about it. I mean, I've been seeing tweets all morning up on the television from all the players. I mean, every player in the National Football League was tweeting about this.
It wasn't Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., okay?
Everybody was watching.
It was Thursday night football. That's number one, why he's going to be suspended the whole year for sure. And number two, it was taking off the helmet of and hitting the helmet at the quarterback, okay, of the team. And we know the way this league protects quarterbacks. We know the way they protect. You can't do it, period. But you did it to the quarterback.
If that was Tom Brady, Myles Garrett would never play in the National Football League again. Mason Rudolph.
Like, I don't even have to consider whether or not it's to be a 4-game, a 6-game. It is without question going to be a suspension for the remainder of the season.
I would think
Matter of fact,
how many games do they have left? How many have they had their
spies?
They have six games left. So
it may end up being he is suspended indefinitely, and they're going
and
to revisit after
the
season. That I could actually see that being the case, rather than them actually say you're suspended for the rest of the season and then you are allowed back next year. It may not even be that. It may be you are suspended indefinitely,
now,
and it will be revisited.
I would expect you're going to get some suspensions as well from Pouncey. I would expect to get suspended as well. Who was the third person who was ejected?
Well, Ogunjobi, if I'm saying his name properly,
right,
was the player
because
for Cleveland.
Because he came up and he pushed
I don't think he gets suspended for pushing
he
a guy.
He pushed Mason Rudolph after the fact when Mason Rudolph
without
was
his helmet on.
Standing there without his helmet on. I think it's without the helmet on fact that you actually could get a suspension for that as well, but that would probably be like a game.
Pouncey's going to be in some trouble,
yeah,
but Pouncey's going to get in trouble. You're going to have to get him in trouble. There's got to be a punishment there, but I can't put any blame on Pouncey, okay? Pouncey did in that spot. You know, the stomping, do you want him stomping? Of course not. You know, it's menace to society, but
kicking him in the head, stomping.
But Pouncey,
you can see why.
But Pouncey is sticking up for his teammate there who happens to be the quarterback and also happens to not have a helmet on right now. So Pouncey, if you're a Steeler fan, you're totally cool with everything that Pouncey did in that spot. And I'm cool with that too. Let's hear from Maurkice Pouncey postgame.
Maurkice, should Garrett be done for the year for what he did?
Absolutely. 100%. We'll see how serious the NFL is about their players.
Do you expect anything to happen to you?
Basically, who cares? My man got hit in the head with a helmet. I mean, I'll accept whatever penalty it is.
Can you remember being that angry on a football field?
Nah, I blacked out. I don't even remember it, really, to be honest with you.
He's a real one.
I mean,
and he's right. I mean, listen, he says, who cares? I mean, I'll accept whatever penalty that is.
Yeah.
You know, my man got hit in the head, I mean, without a helmet on.
Yeah, Pouncey's going to get in trouble.
As he should.
It's not going to be too much trouble, but he's going to get in trouble. But he's just going to eat that. He's going to chalk that one up. That's the way it goes.
Now, you can text into the show at 67974. Text writes in, Amber, if I hit my coworker over the head with a helmet right now and he calls the police, do I get arrested? Yes, correct. You're also not a football player in the National Football League. So that's what's been cracking me up all day is now there's all these conversations around, is this assault? Is Myles Garrett going to get arrested?
Yes, so what's going to happen there?
So,
I know there were police in the locker room after the game, which has never happened.
Right. So, well, part of that also maybe there may be some crowd measurement issues going
on
there.
No, they were in the locker room.
Some security issues. Well, but from what I understand, they like bounced right away. Like Myles Garrett was out of there right away.
No, I understand, but police were in the locker room, in the Browns locker room.
Right,
so,
but
and
those
that's,
wouldn't be
that's
the
not
same.
Normal.
Most likely, those are the police from the game. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I don't know if those are like investigators coming in to investigate this situation. Regardless, you know, with these sorts of situations, you know, everyone all over my Twitter timeline is, you know, convinced that this is, you know, assault and they're all discussing it because all of a sudden everybody's an expert in Ohio law. And when we're talking about whether something rises to that level in sports, it has to be something far outside the norm, like something extremely unusual. It's not that it's unheard of, but it has to be something extremely unusual. Like you mentioned with the situation in the National Hockey League. That was under Canadian law. So I don't know Canadian law. That could be a completely different thing.
So do you think that he would not have gotten in trouble if it happened in this country?
I don't know. Well, no, that's not necessarily true because you could make the argument there both ways with that situation, right? The problem there is he used the stick as a weapon, and he did it unsuspectingly, right? I mean, this is something from 20 years ago. Right, so that, I think, becomes the problem.
Because just because it's sports, you can't impale the guy with your stick.
That's
you know?
What it is. It's like, you can't just go and do anything to anybody, especially in a situation like that where they're not even asking for it, essentially. So does that rise to the level of assault? Is that unusual? Under Canadian law, it certainly did. When we're talking about evaluating it here in this country, it works the same way. Is it unusual? We know, for example, that throwing a baseball at somebody's head 100 miles per hour is far outside the parameters of the rules of the sport, but doesn't rise to the level of assault. And why not? Because it happens. And so if you're a baseball player, you're assuming the risk of that happening to you by participating in that sport. You are assuming the risk of the benches clearing in a brawl. You're assuming that risk is in football as well, because there's fights all the time that happen in football. And so part of that is participating in sports generally, particularly when you're talking about a violent sport like the sport of football. What are you signing up for? We know that fights happen on the field constantly. Now, it depends, again, on what sets the standard as sort of normal in the sport. I remember from law school reading some cases with referees where referees had been beat the bleep out of, right? Like you walk up, you knock out the referee. Now, is the referee assuming that risk?
Make a bad call? What happened there?
By being a referee.
Too long on replay? You know I hate that.
Football,
you know I hate when they take too long on replay.
The answer to that question is normally no. Like that's outside the parameters. He's not signing up to participate in the physical component of the sport. So is he expecting to get the bleep punched out of him? Probably not. When you're on the football field and you're actually participating in the contact, it's a bit different because fights break out and fights happen. Now, is Mason Rudolph signing up for a 230-pound linebacker, you know, ripping your helmet off and using your helmet as a weapon against you and beating you over the head with it? And becomes an argument that I could see actually both sides of, frankly. And I mean, that's also because I can see both sides of every argument. But, you know, it's not cut and dry. Let's put it that way. Mason Rudolph does appear to have started this fight. So there is that. So Mason Rudolph is engaging in this fight.
Well, what counts as starting the fight? Him trying to rip off the helmet or Myles Garrett tackling him late?
No, Myles Garrett tackling him late, that's just part of the game. Okay. Mason Rudolph then appears to then try to kick Myles Garrett in the junk, from what I understand, and obviously says whatever he says to Myles Garrett, right, to get Myles Garrett that heated. Like, something happened there. Mason Rudolph...
Yeah, Justine Anderson's trying to get you to get you to believe that he called him the N-word. We know that's what happened last night. You saw that with Justine Anderson?
No.
Oh, yeah, Justine Anderson. Justine Anderson, late last night, right after it happened, let me find it, because people had to, like...
How would she know?
But that's the point! How would she know? Justine Anderson, last night, she tweeted...
I mean, did Myles Garrett tell her that?
I don't know! Justine Anderson, after the game, or after it happened, she tweets out, "I would bet Myles Garrett will say he heard Mason Rudolph call him something egregious. Never seen Garrett act like that, ever." And she very shortly after deleted the tweet. And has now
she's
pretended.
She's accusing Mason Rudolph of being racist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why she deleted,
like,
I guess.
A reckless accusation.
It's pretty reckless.
Without ever hearing.
Because we all know what
Myles
she's
Garrett.
Insinuating there, you know?
Oh, yeah. That seems a bit reckless.
Yeah, and she deleted it. And people were pissed.
It does seem like something might
I mean, what
happened.
I want just. I only want Justine Anderson to tell me who's showering with who. That's
it,
all
it
I
does,
want from her.
It does seem.
Who is showering with Myles Garrett after the game? That's
it does seem like Mason Rudolph had an issue with the hit, right, against him. So he did something. Whether he's saying something to Myles Garrett, it also appeared like he was trying to kick him. And so he gets Myles Garrett worked up, and then Myles Garrett does what he does. And don't get me wrong, that in no way excuses what Myles Garrett did. But Myles Garrett does what he does, and he does it in the course of Mason Rudolph continuing to charge after him as well. So again, this, like, if we're talking about it from a legal perspective, there's certainly, it's not cut and dry that yes, this would rise to the level of unusual, because it also seems like Mason Rudolph is an active participant, and that,
so bottom line,
way,
is he gonna be in trouble legally?
And by the way, these things happen in football. Like, we're all acting like
nobody's
prison. Nobody. We're all acting like
death penalty.
we're all acting like nobody's had their helmets ripped off before in fights in football. It's happened like
I don't even want to see this again.
A million times.
I'll show the replay. Hide your eyes.
I mean, it happens all the time. You rip the guy's helmet off. You're punching him. I mean, it's not that it hasn't happened.
Funny.
There's been very, very violent things that have happened in football. I don't know Ohio law. I'm a lawyer in Florida and Georgia. Obviously,
all
that
right.
matters what Ohio law would be.
All
whether
right.
the, you know, if the, I don't even want to speculate on, you
okay.
know, what the system would be up there. Most likely.
You and Josina.
There's arguments to be made on both sides. It certainly doesn't appear cut and dry. And don't forget, it's not just criminal. Some of these cases have happened civilly as well, like where I mentioned the referee then sues the player in civil court and gets a boatload of money. Those sorts of things do occur in sports very, very rarely. Again, it has to be something so far outside of the realm of what you are signing up for and what you're assuming in
All
terms
right.
of your position as a football player.
Let's get you caught up on what you might have missed. A lot of things happened. Zazzle and Amber, next. Come on, Amber, let's hear it. Jump in here. Oh, this is just instrumental? It's not the actual
song?
So
glad I didn't
song.
Jump in.
Oh, it could have been just you, a solo.
But Amber, you're not a thug?
Trying to set me up.
Oh, I didn't realize this was just instrumental.
Not the instrumental.
Oh, there we go.
Song.
It just took a long time to get going. Yeah. Hold on, Amber. Your cue's coming up. Your part's coming up. You're going to jump right in here. It's going to be great. You ready? All right, Amber. Come on now. You're up. Let's go.
You got it, Zaz.
Miles Garrett.
Why, Zaz?
Miles Garrett's theme song, walking into the room. Anyway.
Was this 90s?
No,
I think it was after that, right?
No, maybe, maybe.
This was 90s.
2000.
Yeah, this is 2000. Okay. This was like high school.
Okay. I was in college. All right. Let's get you caught up on some things you might have missed here. Come on now. Let's do it, Vlad. Hit it, man. All right. You know the way we do it on Fridays, though. We'll get to the betting. Nick Kostas from You Better You Bet. He'll join us in about 40 minutes from now. We'll find out what the winning plays are for this weekend.
Zaslow's betting advice, thank goodness. Because,
listen, you can't win them all.
If you let Zaslow tell it, you would have lost your ass last night.
I mean, I'm not going undefeated. I'm going to lose some games. It was a trap, and it was a trap, whatever. And our pal, of course,
you
is Brian
Monroe.
You
even told us it was a trap.
I know. Yeah,
hey, you still bet it.
Sometimes you still got to go with the trap, okay? Brian Monroe is going to be in studio with us at noon. I'm interested to hear his thoughts, obviously, from a football perspective on everything that took place, from a football player's perspective, everything that took place last night. And we'll get to the Heat coming up. The Heat won last night, a wire-to-wire, another wire-to-wire victory last night at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The big story, though, is what took place last night, Thursday Night Football. So we'll get into all the post-game reactions. There's a lot to unravel here. Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, okay? And Jarvis Landry is super well-behaved all the time. So I'm interested in hearing what he had to say post-game about the fight.
Seeing what really happened, I mean, there's going to be multiple players who get fines, ejections, suspensions.
That's the first time really
That's the first
that.
Time I've seen
well,
what...
your thoughts when you see that kind of ferociousness of a swing of a helmet when we're trying
it's a good word to use there, ferociousness.
Helmet-to-helmet hits.
Who's that, Michael Irvin?
So seeing that.
Yes.
It's ugly. It's
yeah,
ugly.
It's ugly.
It's ugly.
It's
ugly.
It's sickening. Seeing, you know, I know Pittsburgh players come to their defense. Just seeing that, you know, it's not something that we want in the NFL. I know this is an intense game, and there's a lot of emotions and running high, but you can't have stuff like that, and it's just ugly. I understand there's a rivalry and stuff like that, but it just was no place in this game for that.
Way too far.
It reminds me, that kind of stuff reminds me of where Ron Artest and you had the Malice at the Palace, you know, and then after the game and they're in the locker room and they're getting undressed or whatever, they're getting changed and they're showering and Ron Artest just sitting there and he goes, "Hey man, you think they're going to suspend us?"
That's one of the greatest stories ever.
Suspend us? They're going to throw us out of the league. Amber, what do you got?
I have Mason Rudolph. Of course, I discussed how it appeared Mason Rudolph is the one who actually started the scuffle. Again, not that that excuses anything by any means, but it does appear that Mason Rudolph was the initial instigator because he was upset with Myles Garrett. I think he thought it was a late hit on himself. And here's Mason Rudolph addressing what sparked the fight.
You know, he had some words and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another. So, but you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions. So.
Just keep on trucking.
Keep on keeping on.
All right. Well, after an incident like last night, there are several people you want to hear from. Okay, several important people you want to hear from, and one of those is obviously yours truly.
All I know is this: the minute Mason went after the man's helmet with his foot in his groin, it's on. I'm hearing all these announcers saying that Garrett should be suspended. Maybe he should. But when a guy's trying to get your helmet off your head, and that's where it started, right, with his foot in your groin, it's on. I'm just saying. Take care.
I'm just saying, Amber. You can't behave that way. I'm OJ.
You know, if there's somebody that I want to hear advice from,
I'm going to get back to looking for the killer.
And when it's not on, it's OJ Bleeping Simpson.
I just had to take a break from looking for the killer on the 18th green.
I hate that people follow him. I hate that we give him airtime.
Back to you.
I hate all of it. I hate everything about that man. Despicable. Myles Garrett. Most people also are calling him despicable this morning. People very up in arms about Myles Garrett. Very, very up in arms about Myles Garrett. So, of course, Myles Garrett did address the media after the game. He said that never should have gotten to that point.
Right now.
A win's a win. I don't think it's overshadowed by and what happens in 8 seconds. Play a hell of a game on defense. Offense.
Wrong bite.
Came up firing.
Who is this?
And we held it down.
It's Myles Garrett, but it's the wrong bite.
What we did on the field of play. For the
he
rest
said
of the
a win's
game
a win.
For the first 59 minutes.
Not always.
That shouldn't go unnoticed.
The first 59 minutes shouldn't go unnoticed. All right, Miles. Well, it did.
Yeah, not
it
always.
It did. Before that, he said that the never should have gotten to that point. That's what I was queuing up. You can text into the show at 67974. A text writes in, your baseball reference doesn't correlate with this incident. It's more in line with targeting helmet to helmet. The dude grabbed a helmet with a premeditated violent swing to inflict injury outside of the parameters of the game. Actually, wouldn't be premeditated, but nevertheless, that's the question, right, is whether it's within the parameters of the game. When you're talking about hockey fights, generally, for example, like those are fights with intent, of course, to fight, and they are actually fighting, which is way outside the parameters of the game, and yet it's not illegal per se.
Because, no, but it's within the parameters of the game, though. They have specific penalties for it. They have fouls for it. It is within the parameters of the game, though, right?
Yeah, but it's against the rules. It's against the rules. That's why there's fouls for it and penalties for it. Like, it's against the rules.
Yeah, but
it's
against
the
rules.
To throw a baseball at somebody's head. Like, these things, it's against the rules to have a benches clearing brawl.
Well, no, but against the rules, like, tripping in hockey is against the rules. That's why they have a penalty for it. And
so
fighting is also against the rules, and they have a penalty for it.
Right.
There's no in-game penalty for, you know, for fighting in baseball. That, you're ejected. That's not tolerated.
Right,
fighting's tolerated
for all
hockey.
Of it, it's tolerated, but it's against the rules. That's why there's penalties for it.
Yeah.
Like, all of it's outside the rules of the game.
But
the rules
part
of the game don't really matter, is my point. The rules of the game aren't what determines what's legal and what's not from a legal perspective. If this happened anywhere else, outside of the football field, if Myles Garrett hits Mason Rudolph with anything outside of the football field, it's highly illegal immediately. It's a question of whether it's illegal when he does it on the football field during play. And that becomes a legal question that, frankly, you could argue both ways. It's not cut and dry but at all. The reason that it's even a question in this case is because he used the helmet as a weapon, and that is unusual.
We got a lot going on here. Obviously, the story of the day was the football game last night ended with both teams playing very, very nicely. Zazzo and Amber, your headlines next.